Good afternoon, everyone. How's everybody doing today? I see you coming in. Can you hear me okay? Is my mic working okay? Give me a thumbs up or a heart or something. Awesome. I see a thumbs up. That's good news. I am Coach Kathy, and I am here to talk to you tonight about how to feel the hard stuff without eating. So I'm going to start with just a couple of little comments about things. I was thinking a lot. I did a post, our bionic coach. Welcome back. Thank you. Yes, Lindsay Wagner. Just call me Lindsay Wagner. Okay. I did a post in the main group today, and just kind of to get a feel for what kind of emotions you all eat over. Okay. And I saw a lot of anxious, fear, worry, uncertainty, lack of control, along with a lot of other stuff. But what do you think those particular emotions indicate? I'm going to tell you. They indicate future thinking. They are future focused. And if you are like me, you tend to disaster plan a little bit. Corinne used to call me up and she'd say, "Hey, Kathy, I've got an idea. Tell me what can go wrong." Okay, it's my superpower. I can tell you give me something new, I can tell you everything's gonna go wrong about it. All right. Superpower, maybe not. But that's me. That's what I do. It's part of my DNA. So I kind of embrace it. I look at it as maybe not so much of something that I need to be doing all the time, but a skill that I can pull out of my pocket should I need to. But here's the thing, when we are like this, we're not picking amazing outcomes, right? We're thinking and planning disasters because we think it's going to protect us, right? If I consider all the terrible things that are going to go wrong with this, then I'll be ready for anything, which is not true. It's not true. It is creating worries, falsehoods, stressors ahead of time. Okay. It only revs up our nervous system, creates enough discomfort in our body that guess what? We start getting urges to eat to feel better. Right. So, what do you do? I'm going to give you some tools. Here's your free tools for the day. Two things. The first thing is you understand the feeling and where it's coming from. So, how do you do that? Okay. You name it first. I'm feeling anxious. I'm afraid. I'm worried about something. Okay, name it. And then you drop into your body. Here comes a little bit of the feelings work, right? Where do I hold this feeling in my body? Well, my stomach's a little upset. When I get anxious, my skin prickles. I get prickly skin. It feels like my insides are bubbly. Okay? I get really stressed across the back of my neck. So, where do you feel that feeling in your body? Okay. And then you think about what brought this feeling up. Was it something I was thinking? Was it a trigger that happened in my life? You know, what brought the feeling up? Because if you can identify what brought the feeling up, then you can begin to learn how to manage the thought, the feeling, the trigger. Okay. Then you create space and compassion. Now, what does that mean? You tell yourself, "Of course, I feel this way. This is what I was thinking." You tell yourself, "There's nothing wrong with feeling this because there's not. No feelings are wrong. No feelings are right. There's nothing wrong with any feelings." Okay. You create compassion for yourself for feeling that way and the space to understand it. And then you use pause plus permission. I'm going to feel this feeling for a few minutes before I give in to my urge to eat. So, what can I do during that few minutes to help myself feel better? That's where number two comes in. Okay. All this begins to create safety around that feeling, which is so important. We all feel safe being happy. We all feel safe feeling loved. We all feel safe feeling worthy or joyful or even just like comfortable. But do we all feel safe feeling sad or anxious? Probably not. But what if that was a possibility for you? Wouldn't that be amazing to be able to sit on the couch and think, you know what? I feel a little anxious. I wonder what's going on. Rather than, oh my God, I'm anxious. What's wrong? You know, and getting all stressed out and worked up about it. So the whole goal of this call, and you know, a lot of the work that I do with my private clients is to create safety around whatever they feel and give them permission to feel whatever they need to feel. With practice, it takes the feeling from intolerable and unsafe to more curious about why it's there and how it feels. So that brings me to number two. After you've done these things, you understand you're feeling it, you've given yourself permission to feel it. You ground yourself in the facts. If you are one of these future thinkers that is future casting, disaster planning, you know, all this kind of stuff, you have to take it back down to the brass tacks. Okay. I did this. I have a story about this. So a year ago, almost to the day, a year ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And my brain went crazy, bizarro crazy. And I had to sit back and go, okay, I can sit here and go, what if I have to have chemo? What if I have to have a mastectomy? What if I have to quit my job? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? Okay. Or I can pull out that pathology report and go over it with my doctor and understand what it means, what each thing means, and what my treatment plan is. What are the facts here? Because when you can create certainty around the facts, then you can control your next steps. If you're what-ifing yourself to death, and worried and anxious, you are not controlling anything. You are only projecting into the future all the terrible things that might happen. Make sense? It's good stuff, isn't it? Good stuff. All right, I have some hands raised. So let's do some coaching. Let's do some coaching. Let me find my people here. Good stuff. All right, Susan, you are first. I'm going to tell you, if you look down at the bottom of your screen, make sure if your hand is raised, you intend for it to be raised. Let's see if Susan is going to come talk with me. Susan, she declined. Okay. Amy. Let's try you, Amy Smith. Awesome. Amy's coming. Susan, why don't you lower your hand if you don't want to be coached, okay? I don't want to try and pull you up again if you're not wanting to be coached. Thank you. Then have one more. So we'll probably have room for another one after that. Hello, Amy.
Hello.
How are you?
I feel like there's a delay there, so hopefully this is okay.
Yeah, I think you're good. I think you're good. We'll be coaching on.
Everything you just said.
You like that? That
Yeah,
was good,
that
wasn't it? Thinking
moment,
about that this afternoon. It's kind of proud.
that's really why I chose to try to coach with you too, because I don't do well with my feelings. Sorry. I've been on Ask Coaches with Coach Betsy, and she told me that it was a strength to feel hurt and to cry and to do these things. And I'm not quite to where I can believe that right now. About a year and a half ago, I had a falling out with my son and daughter-in-law. It's more my daughter-in-law because I've been a therapist for 40 years, and I suggested that my grandson might be on the spectrum, and she didn't care for that. And I apologized right and left. I've been trying to, have conversations with them, But what it's come down to is I've been forbidden to talk to them, to my grandkids and my son for a long time. I have tried to sit with feeling sad and being happy around my friends who are all doing this, but the reality is that it hurts. And I have had weight creep on in the past year and a half, and I'm up about 15 pounds. And so I'm trying, I've been very diligent in July, and I'm trying to go back to, really sitting and seeing what I'm feeling and taking those pauses and trying to be safe. But I need some help with it. So.
So when it comes to some of the harder feelings, like grief, pain, hurt, devastation, things like that, there's a almost like a three-step process that we can take you through to help you, to give you permission to feel the feeling. Because here's the thing. Like I said in the beginning, there's no right or wrong feeling, right?
Right.
You are allowed to feel hurt. In
Yeah.
fact, the avoidance of your hurt is what creates the urges to eat, to regulate your nervous system. Okay? And I'm getting the feeling that that's really not what you want. You want to live life, understand your emotions, and not eat to suppress them, right? Okay. So step one is to acknowledge the feeling, right? And you've done that, right? I'm hurting. Here's why. Here's the story. Acknowledge and validate, right? The validate part is it's okay for me to be hurt over this. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like it's okay to be hurt over this?
Yeah, and I also think that I deserve better than that too.
Okay.
So I, you know, it, yeah, I've worked through it enough to think that it's okay.
Okay. I'm writing down, I deserve to feel better because we might come back to that. Then the step two is to normalize the feeling. Okay. So how would you normalize feeling hurt? Why do you think it's normal to feel hurt in this situation?
Well, it's normal because it's something that, I mean, we all make mistakes, we all say things, and usually I think we can, find a way to apologize and have conversations and move on. And I'm not even being permitted those things. And so, because I feel like I have no control, I think that's just a normal reaction to it.
Okay. So probably part of the hurt for you is this feeling of lack of control. Like you can't fix it, right? So just acknowledge that as well and normalize that. Of course, you're hurt over this. You haven't seen your son, your daughter-in-law, your grandson, did you say?
Two of them, yeah.
Grandchildren? Yeah. You haven't seen them. You aren't interacting with them right now. Of course, you're missing them. Of course, you're hurt. Of course, you don't feel any control in this. It just, when I tell myself that, it's almost like giving myself a hug, right? It's like understanding myself and giving myself the third step, which is permission to feel the hurt. Okay. That's the tough one. Because when you give yourself permission to feel the hurt, then you're also giving yourself permission to cry, to emote, to allow in other feelings like anger that might come in, right? I bet there's days that you're really mad that that happened, right? Frustration, loss, it's like they all, not they won't all come in, but they might come in individually. There might be other things that come in as well. But allowing yourself to feel those things without pushing them aside or resisting them also helps them burn off easier. Okay. Now, there's some science out there that says a feeling will burn off in 90 seconds. I don't know that that's really true because we tend to amplify them with, yeah, but what if, and this and that, and if they had done this, and if I could do that, and all that, that just amplifies the feeling. Sometimes you just sit and you feel it. You go into that experience in your body. Where does this live in my body and how can I relax it? So tell me this, when you're experiencing this hurt, where do you feel it in your body? Where does it feel in your body?
I get it in my chest, and I get a really rapid heart rate with it. I just had it lap a couple weeks ago. We met out of town at my niece's for a birthday party. We all live out of town from each other, and they didn't even talk to me. So they sat at the other end of the pool. And so I sat with the rest of my family and I kept my front up and I did all of that. And I was very proud of myself for doing that. And then when they left, I went and stood behind the backdrop for all the pictures and I cried. And that it actually, I felt okay after I did that because I did have to let that out. But that's where I really was sitting with a lot of that tightness and in my heart racing the whole time that they were there. So
So crying is an emotional release. Okay, that does help. It's like breathing. Okay, if we do a short inhale and a really long exhale, that is also an emotional release. It kind of takes the temperature down on a feeling. So crying is an emotional release. So I'm sure Coach Betsy told you that crying is a strength because allowing yourself that vulnerability is a real gift that you can give yourself. Okay. So I'm glad that you did that. Since this lives in your chest and with your heartbeat, how does it feel when you take your hands and you put them right here and you just press in a little bit?
I do that. I'm learning from you. And
Yeah.
it is calming for me to do it.
It is calming. If you do this and you breathe, long inhale, long exhale. And you tell yourself, I'm doing the best I can. I love them no matter what. What else do you think you can say that will help you calm?
I also believe that this will figure itself out. I don't know how long it will take, but I believe it will happen
Well,
somehow.
that's not really in your control, right?
No, it's not.
Yeah. So it will figure this will figure itself out. This will work out. We'll be together one day. Whatever it is that you can tell yourself that you find comforting while you're pressing right here and breathing will likely help you process. Okay? Without eating. Because the eating doesn't help you process. It takes the temperature down for a minute. But it doesn't help you resolve anything. That's the big disclaimer to eating when you're stressed or upset. Okay. Now, I wanted to ask you, I deserve to feel better. Tell me about that. Maybe that's one of the things you say. I deserve to feel better.
Oh, I like that. I think I've put everybody else ahead of me. I mean, like what many of us have done. And I'm just realizing that it's just time to take care of me. And I have to believe that I deserve that, though. And I really believe that I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, it was not meant, it wasn't meant maliciously. It was meant in love, and it was just meant to help them get some services that might help them. And my grandson. And so like it was done, in love. And that's why I really don't, I think that I deserve to feel this way, but I also deserve to be treated better than that too. So
Well, all right. So you deserve to
things.
feel anything you want to feel. But you can't put that on someone else to give you that gift.
No.
Okay? That's not anyone else's responsibility. That's your responsibility. And that's why this comforting gesture or this self-soothing gesture is your first step. Okay? You do deserve to feel better. You do deserve to process this and to resolve this within yourself. But what they do to resolve it is not within your control. And
Right.
you have to let loose of any expectation of what they're going to do with this information. Okay?
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, that
If
I
you
in
gave
my
that,
practical brain, I know that
right. If you gave that information to them out of love and care for your grandson, then you just take that in and say, I'm okay. I did this in the right way, in a way that I'm okay with, I'm proud of, whatever it is. And you just be patient and resolve, work on your own hurt and allow them to have whatever hurt that they're experiencing. Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah.
But what happens when I'm faced with a situation like, when we are going to be together and, because that I deserve to be with my family too. I mean, my other extended family, my mom and my brothers and everyone when we're all getting together, I kind of I'm trying to figure out a way to feel better before I walk in there and have something to calm myself down so that I can just be present with everybody else and still enjoy my time and not do it, and not have whatever is going on with them, impacting my joy. I mean, because it is.
Right. So I think you have that conversation with yourself going in. I know
Okay.
I'm going to be here. I want to spend time with my family. I'm going to navigate this in the best way I can. And then you find a self-soothing gesture to turn to. Now, walking into a pool party like this, probably not so much, right? But there are other techniques, holding your own hands, rubbing your hands together, rubbing your thighs. Anything like that is also a self-soothing gesture.
I'm doing this right now.
See, if you inherently already do that, hold your own hands, and that's exactly what you need to do. I do that too. I hold my hands. I don't, it's funny, I don't link them like this. I
Yeah.
link them like this. I don't know why.
You're
But that's,
a
I guess,
golfer.
maybe, I don't know. But that's just how I do it. And that's how I create that own, my own. You're okay, Kathy. You can do this. This is fine. It's just 1 minute at a time, kind of soothing gesture for myself. Okay.
Okay.
So think about it ahead of time and plan what you're going to do so that you can take care of you while you're in this situation.
Okay.
And allow yourself that big cry if you want to afterwards. All right.
Yeah.
One more thing I'm going to leave you with. This is just a suggestion. I don't know if you've done this or not, but sometimes it helps to write a letter. You just don't mail it. What
Okay.
if you were to write your son a letter that was an apology, a moving on, a reason why, and I love you, whatever it is? What if you were to just pour your heart into the letter? You don't have to mail it. I mean, it's just for you. It's for you to let go of everything you want to tell him that you are not able to tell him just now.
I like that. Okay.
It's a
But
big,
everybody else.
yeah, I see in
We
this a
all have
lot.
those hearts.
Sometimes we do that. You can sometimes it's the easy way to get all of that emotion and all of those reasons and justifications and concerns out from inside your head and your body and out onto paper.
Okay.
Okay. And you
Yeah.
can do that as many times as you want to. You can send him a letter that's full of love and daisies and rainbows, and you can send him one that's full of, or not send him, write him one that's full of, you shouldn't feel this way and, anger and I was just doing, blah, blah, blah. You can do that kind of letter too. Whatever suits you, it gets all that raging emotion onto paper for you.
Okay.
How's that sound?
That feels very good, actually. Thank
Awesome.
you.
Awesome. That
Yeah.
also validates your feeling,
Okay.
right? Just put it in a safe place.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Need any help, holler at me and ask coaches, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Good. Let's make sure I did that right. There she goes. Okay. Catherine. Catherine's iPhone. You're next. Good, she's coming. Awesome. Hi.
Morning. How are
Did you
you?
morning?
Yes, I'm in Australia, so it's 8:30-ish.
This blows my mind. It's tomorrow in Australia.
It's crazy, right? And the one and only other coaching call I did was a few weeks ago with Corinne, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh
I
my
was
goodness.
very tired. But
You're dedicated. That's awesome.
it was so good.
All right.
Indeed.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, I feel like emotional eating is definitely something I've been struggling with pretty much as long as I can remember. And I've definitely been working through a fair amount of it. Like recently, kind of since joining OBS. I've been in OBS for about 6 months. But what I've mostly been struggling with, or I guess what I wanted to bring up today, because it was in the forefront of my mind, is I recently become a mummy. Well, he's a year of age now. But before that, and even now, like I still do work, but I was doing a lot of shift work, so like overnight work. And I got into this kind of habit where I would basically, as soon as I had a chance to be able to sit down and watch TV, I would eat. And it happened to like 2 days ago where I had put some ice cream on my plan. And I'd put my baby down for a nap, and I was looking forward to it all day. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna eat this ice cream. Except for I didn't feel hungry when I went to eat it. But I ate it anyway. And then the feeling that that kind of brought up in me was anxiety that I wouldn't get another, I guess, opportunity to eat it, like later on kind of thing. And it's almost like it feels almost like a desperation thing, where as soon as I get a chance to kind of switch off, I eat, and then if I don't do that, it makes me feel like anxious, not too. And like I've tried doing other things, like I've painted my nails and like, tried to have a nap or whatever, but actually it feels like the only thing I can do that makes it feel better is to eat. If that makes sense.
What do you think the eating does for you that painting your nails doesn't?
I think I can just kind of turn off more maybe while doing that. But it's very much an association, I feel. But it gives me fulfillment, like within myself, like almost like you were saying before about trying to find whereabouts in your body, like does the feeling come from? And it feels like it comes from like the pit of my stomach kind of thing. And I do get a resolution when I eat, but when I just paint my nails or something, I don't get that as much or at all.
So, are you associating comfort with a full stomach?
Yes. But even if it's not, even if I'm not hungry, like the other day I wasn't hungry, but yeah, I definitely wanted to, it's more that I wanted the nice food in my stomach, if that makes sense. But it's never like carrot sticks that I want to snack on. It's
Of course not. It's
covered.
not carrot sticks. It's not an apple. It's not,
Yeah.
cucumbers. It's not anything like that. It's always ice cream. Of course.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
how we know it's an emotional eat. So for all you in the back, if you're having an urge to eat and you ask yourself, will an apple work? And the answer is no, you're not hungry, right? So I think you've figured that out, right? So the ice cream, because you have associated it with comfort, gives you some kind of dopamine hit in your mind. It's like, okay, I can breathe. I've got my ice cream now, right?
Definitely.
So is it only when the baby is asleep?
No, because I was doing it before he even came along. And it's actually been something that I think has been going on for probably I've been so dissociated with myself for so long. But probably for at least 10 years or more.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
But it,
do you really think it's an emotional eat, or do you think it's a habit?
I think it's emotional.
So what emotion are you avoiding with the ice cream?
I'm avoiding feeling anxious if I don't have it.
Okay. So you're Are you anxious before the urge for ice cream? Does the
No, not necessarily. I think I'm just perpetually exhausted. So I just I think it's more just exhaustion.
So I'm gonna tell you what it sounds like to me, and you tell me if I'm crazy, okay? So
Sorry.
I'm willing to be wrong. I'll just start there, okay? You have a well-worn habit of eating ice cream, right?
Yeah,
Okay, you
or
said
other things,
what did you say? Or other things.
or other things. Yeah.
You said 10 years. So when your brain, body, hello, sweetness, your brain, body, whatever, decides it's time, if you say no, you've got this well-worn pathway already that says, what do you mean no? We always have a sweet when we ask for one. So your nervous system gets jacked up because you're like saying no to a well-worn habit. It's like, what? Oh, of course we're supposed to eat. What are you talking about? No, we're supposed to eat right now. It's having a fit. Your stomach is having a fit because you're not following the rules. Right? Yeah.
And I think I've the thing is that I've for pretty much as long as I can remember, it's either been I've been having a lot of restriction, sometimes quite extremely, and then having I don't know that I would call it like a binge in that it's not heaves, but I end my period of restriction by eating stuff that using diet culture would be bad. So I think I kind of go like I feel that I restrict for so long and then I'll eat it all over again. So it feels like it's constantly a forbidden fruit, I guess.
So your other brain is also fighting that. It's like, we better have this now because she's liable to say we can't have any more ice cream for a while. Right? So that's where you create safety around the restriction. Because let me tell you about restriction. I have a theory about restriction. I think we restrict every day. We restrict, you ever get to go to the grocery store and there's a 95-year-old woman in front of you writing a check and she's got a million coupons and you're like, I just have a gallon of milk. Can I just, I got to get home to the baby. Can you hurry it up? You just want to shove her out of the way, pay for your gallon of milk again. And you don't, right? You restrict yourself from shoving the 95-year-old woman out of the way. I'm going to bet, unless there is some kind of arrangement I'm not aware of, you probably don't step out on your partner, right? You restrict yourself from, having sex all over Australia, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So basically, restriction is something we do as a choice based on what our values are, based on what we have decided is good for us or not so good for us. Okay. So restriction doesn't have to be bad. Restriction can be a choice that we make in our own best interest. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I restrict myself from having dessert after every meal, even though I love dessert. I would love to have dessert after every meal. Once a day. I restrict myself to once a day. I allow myself to have dessert once a day, but it is a form of restriction. Okay. I wanted to bring that up because I think it's really important when you think about restriction to think about where does it come from? Does it come from, I should do this, I have to do this in order to lose weight, I must do this? That's not the kind of restriction that you want. But if it's restriction like, you know, I think I'm going to try having a salad for lunch this week because, you know, grilled cheese sandwiches didn't cut the mustard on weight loss last week. You know, maybe that's just a different choice, right?
Yeah. No, that does make sense. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that feels like a better way of coming around it, I suppose. I think
when it comes to your sweets and your desserts, you can choose to restrict them because you should, or you can choose to restrict them because you're just testing something out. Are you going to try something out? Or, you know, I don't like the way I feel after I eat a half gallon of ice cream or whatever it is you eat to whatever. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you think about it in those terms, what would you do to decrease, not eliminate, but decrease the amount of sweets that you eat from a habit perspective? What do you think your next, a good little level up might be for you?
So make sure I plan something every day on my plan as like a bit of a valve, like a bit of a release valve, so that I'm less inclined to eat off plan.
Or release valve. You like the way that feels? What if you just
make it
for your meal?
Yeah. So take away the emotion from it.
And you eat it to enough. Okay, so this is what I do. 2 pieces of dark chocolate at dinner every night. I stop when I've got 2 bites left. And it's my 2 pieces of chocolate. So that I end with a treat, dessert, whatever you want to call it, and I'm at enough.
Yeah, yeah. So you leave a little bit of your dinner so that you've got enough.
Or I don't serve myself as much or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. But
I'm allowing myself my sweet because I love sweets too, girl. I'm just going to tell you. I love them. Those goods are my thing. Okay. Cookies, cakes, all that stuff. That's my thing. Chocolate. I leave just enough room so that I can have a few bites at the end of my meal. And I love every moment of them. I don't sit and watch TV with it. I don't, you know, distract myself. I make sure I'm tasting every bit of that couple of bites of my sweet so that I can enjoy it. It's not a distraction. It is an enjoyment. Yeah,
an enjoyment. The other thing that I do that kind of made me think it was an emotional thing was I was thinking to myself when I was like eating my ice cream a couple of days ago, I was like trying to be mindful eating it. And I got like, it sounds really silly, but I kind of realized that I don't think I would have necessarily even like enjoyed it as much, or maybe not even at all, if I was like, if I'd pressed pause and was just eating it, sitting there doing like nothing, like what's crinkle, like a monk eat situation. Like, yeah. And in fact, I had like, I was a bit annoyed with myself because I was scooping out my like ice cream and then I was like, and I'd had like everything in my head and I was like, but I did it anyway because I felt anxious not to. And then I sat down and like, I was like, I should press pause and just eat this without anything. But I I didn't even do that. Like, and I don't know if it's just
because
I'm too scared to
not
think
the
about,
habit.
yeah, right. So it's have it more.
I think it would be fascinating for you. Try the tactic that I gave you, but also try an effort foods worksheet. Have you done one of them yet on your sweets?
An effort sheet? No, actually, no, I don't think I have.
Go to the helpful worksheets page on the website. It's under resources on the website, helpful worksheets, and look for the effort foods worksheet. Okay.
Yeah.
And then whatever your favorite, you know, sweet treat is at the moment, after the boy goes to bed, sit there and do that worksheet with it. Okay.
Okay.
It's gonna take you, it'll take, what do y'all think? 15, 20 minutes probably to do that worksheet, because you're going to very mindfully eat what you have in front of you. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because
we'll try that.
Yeah. And then see what happens. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that sounds good.
All right. You good?
Yeah, no, I think so. Like, yeah, sorry, it was a little bit less emotional. I wasn't sure if it was emotional or habit.
You're fine.
Yeah.
The anxiety of not following the habit is it does perpetuate the emotional eat. It perpetuates the habit. Okay.
Yeah.
You have to settle that down somehow, or you have to kind of rejig the habit a little bit so that you might be able to bypass the anxiety. But the anxiety comes from your brain going, wait, we know what we're supposed to be doing and we're not doing, something's wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what's happening. Okay.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Okay. Lovely. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
You too.
Sleep well.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Good one. Good one. Kayla Beecher, you are next. Let's see if Kayla's coming. Yep. Kayla's coming. Awesome. Love it. Teresa says, not being able to watch TV while I eat my ice cream seems like a punishment. It's not as enjoyable. Girl, you can take that to Ask Coaches. Let me coach you on that. What is the enjoyment? Is it the ice cream or is it the TV? Or is it the rest? Think on that. Hi, Kayla.
Good evening or afternoon.
Oh, good. We're in the same side of the world.
Yes, no, Washington. So.
Okay.
So I kind of related to Catherine a little bit, but I kind of have a different aspect to it. Similar, but I kind of took notes so I wouldn't ramble.
Okay.
I just recently got an ADHD diagnosis after going through a whole bunch of things related to life. I guess that's the best way to put it. Mainly co-parenting issues. We do a week on, a week off with my son. So kind of dealing with the emotions that I have during the weeks that I don't have my son. I've been noticing patterns of feelings around. I definitely have binge eating tendencies and habits around emotional eating in general. I kind of try to take notes on different things, and I've tried to think about the different thoughts that I have, but it's kind of hard to notice. I try to stick to, like, I try to plan at least weekly, and then I try to break it down like 24 hours. I try to do daily plans as much as I can. I do pretty well on everything else, but a lot of the feelings that I have around, like, shame and guilt around when I'm eating. I used to be like 288 and I'm down to like 209 now. So I've lost a decent amount of weight. That's been since I had my son. He's almost six. So it's been pretty steady. I've been with No BS for 2 years roughly, but I've never been coached. So kind of anxious, but I know how it goes. So yeah. And just dealing with a lot of that shame and guilt has to do with issues with my mom. I'm 26, so my mom was overweight my whole life, kind of didn't teach me great habits around all of that. So, yeah.
The shame and guilt, do you eat because of the shame and guilt?
I think so. Because of my depression and anxiety, I take like medication, which kind of has helped with the depression aspect of it. But a lot of it's around the thoughts that I have about when I, after I eat. After I'll plan something, but I'll eat past enough, or I won't eat all day, and then I'll significantly overeat at night, whether it's with my dinner or whether it's planning a snack for like later on in the evening, and then overeating and kind of fuck it eating with everything else. And I kind of spiral down that path, which makes it tough. And I also don't want my son to have the weight issues that I had growing up with a mother who was significantly overweight. So I'm working on it, but I'm kind of trying to work on the thoughts that I have around, even if I plan good foods or switch it up for better and best foods, but I still enjoy it. Yeah.
So tell me about the last time you overate, significantly overate due to shame and guilt. Sometimes it's easier to work in more concrete situations.
Yeah, no. So like 2-3 nights ago, I ate like 3 of the like dairy-free Dairy Queen Dilly Bars. They're like, I just recently had to cut out dairy because of like IBS issues. And so with that, I tend to overeat on other things because I can't eat regular things like ice cream that I used to enjoy.
Okay. So when you think I can't eat ice cream that I used to enjoy, what feeling comes up?
I think it's like the way that I would feel when I was eating it, kind of like she was saying, that like release. I don't know. It's not a specific
thing. When you think I can't have this, I can't have dairy, what do you feel? Deprived?
Yeah. Significantly cheese, camp cottage cheese, all the things that I love that I even consider good foods or better and best foods, I still feel super deprived of foods that I really love and were a majority of my diet. So I guess it's upsetting that I can't eat foods that I want to.
Okay. That's the key right there. Okay, it's upsetting that I can't eat the foods that I want to. Well, you can't, but you would just
declare then I'm in the toilet all day.
Then you're in the bathroom the whole time, right?
Yeah.
So there are consequences to eating the foods that you used to eat.
Yeah.
And thinking about that is upsetting to you.
Yeah.
You feel cheated? That's another one. That's another big one. Sometimes it comes up.
Oh, for sure. I feel like it's not fair that like other people get to eat what they want. And I can't, because otherwise I'm uncomfortable. But I know that me feeling better is, I feel better not being on the toilet than I do eating that.
Okay. That's your magic thought. It might not be usable all the time, but when you think, I can't have that anymore, or I can't have something I really love, and you feel deprived and cheated and upset, you're probably going to do things like overeat something else to compensate.
Yeah.
Right? But if you step back for a minute and you really put some thought to it and you think, wait, if I eat that, I'm going to end up on the toilet. And that's, I really don't want to end up on the toilet. I got too much else going on.
Yeah.
Right? That almost creates a little bit of space for you to start working on this compassionate response, this safe response to the urge for the stuff that, you know, the overeating urge to compensate. Yeah.
True. I feel like that's a huge part of it. Feeling deprived in other areas makes me feel like deprived to where I, whether it's candy or, and I mean, sometimes I even overeat the things I'm not supposed to have. And then there's like significantly more consequences, and I feel even more guilty that I don't have that enough self-control to do what I know is better for me.
Then comes the pile on of the guilt and the shame. So the guilt and shame show up after the eat, right?
No, and then then I have four because I just am like, well, I already did it, so I might as well just. But then,
and then the consequences just
yeah
just continue to pile on, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like you have to create space and understanding, like I was talking about at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Right? Let's go back to the steps. If we name it, we name the feeling, it's deprived. Where does it feel in your body? Where do you get it? When you feel deprived because you can't have cheese or ice cream or whatever dairy product it is, where does that, can you conjure it up enough to tell me where it lives in your body?
Well, the feeling of being deprived causes me to be anxious. And specifically when it comes to being deprived of food, I feel it more like in my, I don't know, like in my stomach or my chest.
Feel tight.
Yeah, it's more so, yeah. And then I get up and I go mindlessly find something else until I catch myself in the thought. And luckily I've been getting better at like after the first or second thing that I've decided to eat, I'm like, wait a second. Sometimes I don't do that. I'd say it's like 50-50 now. It used to be 100% of the time I would eat whatever I wanted whenever, whether it, so I see progress and I know it's not about perfection, but
progress yeah. is great. If you're catching yourself 50% of the time, that's amazing because, you know, that can grow to 60% and 70% over time and 80%. We don't ever want to hope for perfection because, I mean, really, it doesn't exist. We're going to make mistakes. We're human, right?
Sure.
But when you can really question your urge and you can create this compassionate just few minutes for yourself to say, all right, I know I want this really bad and I know I'm feeling bad about it, but I'm going to feel worse if I do this.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're saying, what's the currency I'm going to pay if I overeat the dairy or overeat something else?
I feel like it's worse. Sorry for the road noise. I feel like it's worse for me to feel the guilt and the shame than it is for me to be on the toilet.
Isn't that interesting?
Which honestly, I got used to it because I didn't know that it was dairy for a long time. And so it was like, I didn't realize that. And then once I figured it out, I was like, but now that I think about it, after the fact, it feels way worse than if I just, you know, if I'm hungry, planning something else that I know won't make me feel that way that I still like, but being okay with that in general. So, yeah.
So being okay with it is probably something to shoot for. Understanding it is where you want to start. Being willing to sit with the discomfort of not having it, of having this conversation with yourself.
Yeah. You know,
I'm either picking the devil or the deep blue sea here. I'm picking toilet or guilt and shame. And I really don't want either of those. Right?
True. Yeah. Neither is great. So it's kind of in the moment. Yeah. A lot of it's mindless or trying to kind of figure out the triggers too.
That's the work that you do in that space, in that space that you give yourself to have this conversation, to create safety, whatever it is, you know, hand on your heart, breathing, whatever it is, a walk around, whatever you do in that pause when you're creating that space, that's when you think about, I wonder what triggered this. I wonder, you know, how I can manage this in a different way. I wonder, you know, get real curious about it. Because when you're curious about your urges, then you're creating space to learn how to manage them. When you're curious about your triggers, when they come up, how you react to them, your brain goes into problem-solving mode rather than we have to fix this real quick with a brownie mode. You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's the big one, is trying to figure out what's causing the urge. I feel like that's my next. I know there's quite a few worksheets that I can work through as well.
I would go back to module 3 of No BS and start there for sure, because that's the basis of the urge work that we do. And then there's an urges pathway also.
I'll revisit those.
Yeah. Good. So, but start with module 3 of No BS. Actually, it's module 2.
Two.
Right now. Until the module comes out, then it'll be module three. How confusing is that, right? Look for the managing urges module.
Okay, no, I need to go revisit them. I know they got updated, so.
Yeah.
Since I went through it the first time.
And that way, you can learn more about where an urge comes from, what it means, how to manage it, the normality of it. Urges are very normal. We have urges all the time. You have urges to brush your teeth, urges to go to the bathroom, urges to take a walk. You have urges all the time. And then you can discern when you have an urge, how you want to act. Okay. And for you, you're always thinking there's two options. You're thinking there's, you know, dairy and toilet option, or you're thinking there's guilt and shame option, but there's a third option.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe even a fourth option. You know, third option might be to eat nothing. A fourth option might be to plan something you can have and enjoy that. You know, as a, you know, a, listen, y'all, I'm a big proponent of, if you eat in front of the TV, make sure you're enjoying your food. Make sure you're tasting your food. Get every bit of taste and enjoyment out of your food that you can. If you're eating mindlessly, you're just wasting that food. You're just putting it on your plate without even enjoying it.
That's true.
So make sure you are loving what you're eating. Okay. Because that in a sense will bring you some emotional satisfaction as well.
For sure. I appreciate it.
Sound good?
Awesome. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Have a good night.
You too. All right, everybody. If you are not thinking about coming to the Diet Culture Detox, take a second and think about it. This is the kind of stuff we're going to talk about there. We're going to experiment with. I get to speak about the nervous system. Corinne is going to talk so much about food safety. Safety around, not food safety, not like cooking your meat to the right temperature, but around feeling safe around food that's in your house. Jean says she'll be sitting on the front row. It is going to be so good. So much live practice. It's going to be amazing. I would love to see you there. Love, love, love. Those of you I didn't get to talk to tonight, please take your questions over to Ask Coaches. You can put my name in the little bar or in the title, or you can just say, you know, to Coach Kathy or whatever. I'm happy to work with you on any of this. Okay. Thank you so much for coming. I hope you know Diet Culture Detox is not sold out. There are plenty of seats left. Please come. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be so good. So, you guys have a good night, okay? And think about what you're thinking about. Feel your emotions in your body. Where do they live? Because when you can feel them in your body and you can tolerate the feeling, then you're going to start to create safety around them, okay? That's what we want. We all want to feel safe all the time. Okay, take care.